Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, your source for 2 hours of apologetics and evangelization. Welcome to the show today. My name is David Matheson, and I am normally the fundraising director here at Catholic Answers, but every now and then, our regular host, Cy Kellett, allows me to sit in with you guys and host the show. It is a pleasure to be here, as I said, and we are looking forward to 2 hours of Ask Me Anything about the Catholic faith. First hour will be our own Tim Staples, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, and hour two will be Carlo Broussard, who is our apologist, of course, staff apologist at Catholic Answers, and he is actually located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tim is here with me in studio, and we'll get to him here in just a second. Hey, I wanted to mention to you folks out there listening that we have the Catholic Answers National Conference coming up this fall. It is September 26th. Through the 29th here in San Diego. It's going to be a great event. We'll share some more details about it in a moment before or after our first break today. So I'll give you all the details. If you want information now about the Catholic Answers Conference, it is CatholicAnswersConference.com, CatholicAnswersConference.com. That's the place to go to find out more information, including about our keynote speaker, Dr. Scott Hahn, who we're proud to have back this year, as well as all of your Catholic Answers apologists. You can get your tickets there, as I said, get more details in addition to that. As I mentioned, our first hour guest is senior apologist at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples, the one and only. Tim, we've got to stop meeting like this. We had two full hours, you and me, yesterday. It was a great 2 hours, and we're looking forward to another great time today.
But I don't know if I can handle 3 straight hours with you, man.
Yeah, well, you better figure it out, because that's what we got here, brother. So what's happening in your world? Do you have any speaking engagements coming up? I know that's still a regular part of what you do.
Yeah, nothing in July. I'm doing a little vacation here.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, actually, for the 4th of July, we're going to have a little fun as a family. But I don't have anything in July, but if anybody wants me to speak, I'm here. What is that? Catholic Answers Speakers.
Yeah, that's right.
Plural.com.
That's right.
I've messed up before and said Catholic Answers Speaker.com. No, Catholic Answers Speakers. .com.
That's right. Make sure you put that S before the .com. That is the way to get Tim Staples or any of the other, Joe Heschmeyer, Trent Horn, anybody you would like to come and speak at your parish. If you've got a conference in your area and you'd like to suggest a Catholic Answers speaker, they can contact us. Also, Jen Phelps is the coordinator, and CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com is the website. Yep. And Tim, there's the other thing that we have coming up is a brand new YouTube feature from you, and I think it's called One-on-One with Tim Staples.
Yeah, and as I mentioned yesterday, I'm really excited about it. We just had our first broadcast. I guess we call it a broadcast, but it's visual also. So what do we call
that?
I think we're calling it a YouTube series.
Yeah, okay.
So it's going to be audio, and you'll have to put up with actually seeing my face. I'm sorry about that, but but it is a YouTube series at our Catholic YouTube, that is Catholic Answers YouTube channel. And the first one, Dave, just went fantastic. We talked with a fellow who's actually a Catholic. He's a convert and kind of a burgeoning apologist of his own right.
Yeah.
Sharp young fella. I love seeing it, you know, the young guys. There was a guy I saw about 20 years ago, or 18 years ago or so. No, I think it is closer to 20 years ago. A similar who came up to me and said he wanted to be an apologist. I forget his name. I think it was Carlo Broussard.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, we're going to be talking to him an hour, too. How about
that's
that?
That's right, in the next hour.
Yeah. But, that's right.
But yeah, this young fella, you know, you could see was a pretty sharp fella, and we were in a discussion about Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, he was asking me, what's the best way to evangelize Jehovah's Witnesses? And it went fantastic. Now, we have loaded and ready to go. On the 10th, we're going to be shooting our second, that is July 10th, we'll be shooting our second show. And this time, we're going to have an atheist on. Mm. And I want folks to know that we're taking all comers here. It's going to be Catholics on various, and if you're a Catholic, it doesn't have to be a quote-unquote Catholic issue, you know, within the church or that sort of thing. It can be like this fellow, help me, how do I evangelize a Muslim or a Hindu, or we can have a Muslim or a Hindu or anyone come on, and we'll talk about the faith. That's the key. It's one-on-one with Tim Staples, and you never know what you're going to get, because we're going to hit all topics and all comers, and we are fired up. Now, I know the first one is about ready to pop, I think.
I think it's going to roll on YouTube July 20th. That's what I heard. So July 20th, it's going to get posted, and this is the one about Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's right. And then the next one, of course, will be sometime after that.
That's right. You're recording the next one here coming up on the 10th.
That's
And to get the thing rolling, to get one-on-one with Tim Staples rolling, we are actually offering the opportunity to members of Society 315, which is our monthly givers club, to initially be the ones that have the opportunity to join you and, as I said, get the series rolling. So if you are a member of Society 315 and would like to do it, email Michelle Murdoch, and Michelle can get you started on the process to join Tim for one of these one-on-one sessions. If you are not a member of Society 315, it just takes $10 a month, and you can go to casociety315.com, casociety315.com. Enough about that. Again, we've got 2 hours of Ask Me Anything about the Catholic faith. The number to call, and I should have announced this earlier, is 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Second hour, we have Carlo Broussard, staff apologist for Catholic Answers, who will be with us. But first hour here is Tim Staples. And Tim, we've got a couple calls already on the board.
Let's do it, man.
All right, let's go right to it. In fact, we're going to go to Coy in Alabama, watching on YouTube. Go right ahead, Coy.
Coy, are you with us?
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Yes, welcome.
Sure can.
Great, thank you. Hey, well, first, Tim, congrats on the new show. It sounds exciting. Definitely will be checking that out.
Cool.
Thank y'all for taking my call.
You bet.
Essentially, I feel that I've gone from a long journey from atheism to, I guess, what I would call near Christianity.
Okay.
I feel like I'm very close to it, even Catholicism.
You could write a book. You could write a book there, brother. Near Christianity, right? Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm at near Christianity, where I've almost accepted it.
Yeah.
However, I always get stopped in my tracks with the seemingly, for me at least, impossible contradiction of an all-loving God seeming to punish fallible creatures that he creates.
Mm-hmm.
I've read actually a few of your articles specifically, Tim.
Yeah.
Just to try to help myself through it. And it seems like it always kind of boils down to they choose to freely reject God.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that if they had a full understanding of what they were rejecting, they could not reject it.
Right.
And that if they didn't have a full understanding of what they were rejecting,
right,
then it would be unjust to punish them eternally for rejecting that.
Right.
So I just don't know how to get through that contradiction.
Yes. It's a great question, Coy. And this is, ultimately, it is a great mystery, what St. Paul calls the mystery of iniquity, right? And there, you know, and we don't shy away from saying there are certain aspects of our faith that are mysterious, that it's beyond our ability to fully comprehend, at least on one level, this side of the veil. Now, there are some things that we label as mysteries that we will be able to comprehend on the other side of the veil. And this is one of them, by the way. We will be able to fully comprehend exactly why God punished every single soul that has ever and will ever be punished. We will know God's entire plan of salvation. But that is beyond our capability this side of the veil. Now, Coy, God could, you know, theoretically, he could make himself known in such a way that each and every person on this planet would freely choose him if he revealed himself in all of his glory. That is a fact, because our intellects are ordered toward the ultimate good, our wills are toward the ultimate truth, and our wills are ordered toward the ultimate good. We will, in fact, choose that ultimate good if it's presented to us. And that's part of the great mystery of iniquity and the great mystery of free will. People ask, why didn't God just do that? And the answer to that is, I don't know. And guess what? Nobody can know that. But having said that, what God has done in creating us the way that he did, and remember, there are any number of ways. Another point that has to be made, Coy, is remember, there's an infinite gulf between the infinite God and us. So at the instant God creates, and there are unlimited possibilities as to creations that God could create, because you have an infinite gulf between the creator and the created. So the instant he creates, no matter what he chooses to create, there's not only some little lacking between that creation and God, there's an infinite lacking, if you will, or an infinite gulf between God and the creation. And so there are any number, immeasurable numbers of creations God could have created that would be better than this creation. Right? But God, in his wisdom, chose to create this. I know there are some people who think that somehow God is some automaton and all he can do is create the absolute best. That's metaphysically absurd because he would have to create himself, which is impossible because there can't be two gods. So again, there's an infinite gulf here. But what we can know, given the creation that we've been given and the knowledge we can go, and I'm assuming, Coy, you've come to this point at least to see that God is all-powerful and all-good. I know you're struggling with the hell portion, and we'll get to that here in a second. But understanding that you can't make sense of the created order without a being that is infinite being, that is pure actuality, because if there's any potency, potential in the being we're talking about, that ain't God. And that being can't explain all things. As Thomas Aquinas makes so beautifully clear in his third proof for the existence of God, the ultimate being and source of all being must be pure actuality, right? So we know God is good. And in that sense, all he can do is good. Everything he does, even his acts of justice that appear, Coy, and this is really important, that will appear to us at times to be unjust. Why are you doing this? Hey, my kids say that to me all the time. Coy, I've got seven of them, right? And every time I've spanked any of them, I don't remember any of them saying, thank you. That was just punishment, Dad, you know, while I'm spanking them or even. Now, I have some of them in their older ages. Rose, if you're listening, right? I heard you say it not long ago. He spanked us because we deserved it. Even though she wouldn't have said it at the time, she can say under fuller reflection in her older years, and she's only just about to turn 16, that there was a purpose in what God was doing. And so when we look at the created order and we understand that God is good, one of the things that helps us in this is to look at these things and say, gee, how could an all-good God have allowed this? And when it comes to hell, I think the key to understanding it, first and foremost, is the dignity of the human person. A lot of folks don't start there, but I believe that's the most important part of the equation, other than, of course, the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That really makes sense out of everything ultimately. And why do I say that? Because of the reality that God chose to make us free, and he chose. And Coy, there is nothing unjust in God by creating us with this incredible dignity known as free will. We have a rational soul, which is an enormous good, greater than all the created order combined, is the dignity of one individual person. That's right, Coy. You are of a higher dignity than the entire created order, absent the other rational beings, of course, who have a dignity like your own, being angels and men. And so there is nothing unjust in God creating us with this enormous dignity of that includes free will. And with that free will comes the real possibility. Otherwise, it's not truly real, at least not in the way that God in his disposition has revealed he willed to create us. All right, you follow me on that? He willed to create us in such a way that apart from freedom, we do not have love as you and I understand love. this side of the veil. And that's what God willed for us. Now, would anybody say that love is a bad thing? Shame on you, God, for creating us with free will to capacitate us to choose love and to experience love. And in a sense, because we cooperate with God, create love. Create the reality of willing the good of the other because God has created it in us as a capacity. Okay. Now,
hey Tim,
yes.
let me jump in here for a second. We need to take a break. I know you're just getting started. We got another half of this. Coy, hang with us here on this. Tim, it's a little more than just getting started. You're well into it at
yes.
this point.
Okay.
But hang with us, Coy. We're going to take our break here, the first break of the first hour, and we'll be right back after this. Ask me anything about the Catholic faith. The number to call is 888-318-7884. We'll be right back.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
EWTN Publishing has great summer reading. In 30 Marian Eucharistic visits, you will find ways to rekindle the fire of divine love in your prayer life and grow in loving communion with our Lord in the Eucharist. Plus, you'll learn how to apply lessons from the saints' Eucharistic devotion to your daily faith journey. It's one of many great summer reading suggestions for you from EWTN Religious Catalog. For more, visit EWTNRC.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. David Matheson filling in for Cy Kellett today, and we've got 2 hours of Ask Me Anything About the Catholic Faith. Hour two will be Carlo Broussard, staff apologist at Catholic Answers, but hour one is my good friend, senior apologist, also here at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples. And Tim, you were in the middle of discussing
yes.
with Coy, talking about free will and justice and the dignity of the human person.
Yes, as it relates to hell. Yes.
Yes.
And so, Coy, I hope you're still with us. You still with us, buddy? Is Coy...
If I could just there's a lot, definitely, that I agreed with you on. Human dignity, free will choices, the importance of love, and that God is all-loving and all-just. However, it kind of just comes back to my original point, which is I feel that if you had a perfect understanding of God and his offer,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that you could reject it.
Sure.
I think that...
And I agree with you on that point.
So I think that if
it's not that you... It's not... I would...
Punishment,
yeah, I would make perfect. A little... Yeah, I would make a little correction there. It's not that you couldn't reject it. It's that you wouldn't reject it. Because there's no coercion on God's part. Even the souls in heaven who have the beatific vision, they're not being coerced by God. They simply see the ultimate end of their intellect and their will, and they freely choose that. Now, the point I was making, Coy, is that God did not deign. And that's something that's unanswerable. We can't, you know, this is St. Paul's, who are you to, you know, object to the God of the universe. He chose to create us this way. He didn't choose to give us the beatific vision. It's what ultimately we're talking about, to present God in all his glory. And yes, we would choose that. He chose, and I'm going to get to some of the possible reasons for that. This is going to turn into a whole hour show here, Coy. And it is, it's a fascinating and in many ways difficult subject. But here, to finish my thought here, Coy, and then I'd like to hear from you, is that when we approach this understanding that we're talking about the dignity of the human person here being created with free will that creates this situation, all good. There is nothing about that that isn't good. But we have a situation where because man is truly free, And he is free to choose contrary to God's ultimate will for him. That's the kind of freedom that God, and that's the only freedom you and I understand this side of the veil, right? That is freedom. This is the freedom that capacitates love. This is the freedom that creates the possibility of a Mother Teresa who can ascend the heights of humanity. Pope St. John Paul the Great, or so many others that we could talk of that do. I mean, think of Mother Teresa. She didn't just help millions of people. She continues to help millions of people all over the world, even after her death. Even if you're an atheist, don't even believe in heaven. Of course, her prayers are so powerful now in heaven. But her sisters are doing good all over the world as a result of this one little 5 foot or less than 5 foot woman. That's what this incredible dignity we have produces. But on the flip side, that same dignity creates the possibility of an Adolf Hitler, of Pol Pot. And we could go down the list of how many who just created unbelievable levels of evil, right? And so, Coy, it's in that context that we understand the nature of punishment. Because of this dignity that we have, I think nobody would deny, no father of children like my seven, even Rose, as I mentioned, would tell you right now, yes, I deserved punishment. Nobody would deny that rational human beings that act contrary to their natures in serious ways ought not to be punished. Of course they ought to be punished. Why? Because that's justice. Justice, by definition, is to give each rational person what is his or her due. But see, the problem comes in when you get to hell. It's not, I would suggest, Coy, and I want to hear from you, it's not punishment that most atheists that I talk to object to. It's the kind of punishment that they object to. Enter hell, right? I don't mean enter there actually, but enter in the discussion of hell. But see, really, hell in all of its, that's a place nobody wants to go, okay? Hell is, its eternal nature is rooted in that same dignity of the human person. In a sense, you know, I know Jesus says that hell was originally created for the devil. And of course, we understand that. But when Jesus is speaking there, he's not talking about God created some place of torment, right? But God certainly permits it. And without God, of course, there is no hell. He permits it. But actually, it's created by the devil and his angels. And we who are sinners, we are the ones who create it. Why? Because God gives us this capacity for eternity. He gives us a nature that is, our souls anyway, have an immortal nature. Our souls are going to live forever. And by God's grace, the resurrection of the body as well, our bodies and souls will live forever. But that's the way we're created. Again, it's that dignity that we have, Coy. We are going to live forever. That is simply a fact. That's the reason why we have Mother Teresa, John Paul, Pol Pot, and, you know, Alaric the Barbarian, and whoever else you want to talk about, right? But it's that dignity that creates that situation, or we create it for ourselves. If we choose against God, if we choose, I am going to reject God, and I'll put it this way to you, Coy. If I, given all, and my goodness, now we can add the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who we know gives the grace sufficient for salvation to every human being that has ever or will ever enter into this living situation on earth, right? But if we choose, and we have to choose in a grave way to reject God, and I'll use the example, Coy, of committing adultery. If I choose to commit adultery, what am I doing? I'm rejecting God. I'm saying, God, I don't want your plan. Now, you have to be knowing, Coy. You have to know that the Ten Commandments, yeah, there is that sixth commandment, and you don't even need the Ten Commandments for this, because really the Ten Commandments are knowable to our human reason. All that is natural law kind of written on stone, except for the day we worship God. Everything else about it is knowable to every human being on this earth. If I choose knowingly to reject God's law and commit adultery, I am saying with my actions to God, I don't want you. I want me. That is what you are doing as a human being when you say, I'm going to reject God's law on this adultery thing, and I'm going to do it my way. And further, I say to my wife, I'm rejecting you and my commitment to you, your commitment to me, I'm choosing me. And I'm saying to the woman I'm having adultery with as well, I'm rejecting you. Why? Because I'm hurting her as well. Ultimately, what am I choosing? Me over humanity, over God. And that, my friend, is the definition of hell. And when I come back after this break, I just want to wrap this up and give you a chance to respond.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
As we read the Gospels, every Christian faces the question again and again, what does Jesus mean? Getting the answer right is critical to both growth in holiness and fruitful evangelization. Want to know Jesus better so you can introduce him to your friends? Then it's time to get serious about understanding his words. Why not join Catholic Answers for our 10th annual Apologetics Conference? Learn from me the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ. September 26th through 29th, right here in sunny San Diego. Learn from our guests, Dr. Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Sebastian Walsh, Billy Junker, Father Paul Check, and, of course, all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. It'll be 4 days of fun, faith, fellowship, and a live radio show. Seats are still available, but going fast, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. 2 hours of Ask Me Anything About the Catholic Faith, and our guest this hour is Tim Staples. And Tim, you were wrapping up with Coy. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Coy, just real quick there in the end, what I was talking about mortal sin, I use the example of adultery, but basically what we're doing is rejecting God and neighbor, and we are putting ourselves up before God and neighbor. And ultimately, that's the definition of hell. In fact, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I want to say that would be right around 1033 or 1034. It's right in there. The Catechism defines hell as definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and the blessed. That's exactly what I've been talking about. That's what hell is. But because of this incredible dignity we have as human beings, when we decide, and remember, angels decided their eternal fate virtually instantaneously, eons of time, we don't know how far back, when they were given a choice because of their spiritual natures, they chose immediately because they could see all things kind of at once and make a very fat, not in the same way that God does, but very much like how God does, though infinitely beneath him, I should add. But they could see, they didn't have to reason discursively like you and I from A to B to C to D to E because they see it just like that and they made their decision. We as human beings, because we have a material as well as spiritual nature, we have this gray matter here. We learn discursively. And so our choice is made over a lifetime, right? Now, some get less time than others. God works all that out, right? God will be just, obviously, in all that he does. But we see how man makes a decision over a lifetime. And we have to add to the equation that God is giving grace all along the way. And people really do, whether they've never even heard of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has given them grace, right? Right where they are, in ways often known to God alone. And on Judgment Day, they will be judged rightly by whether they cooperated or they did not with the graces they have been given, whether they've acted in accordance with their natures, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, concerning the Gentiles. They will be either excused or accused on the day of judgment when God judges them according to my gospel, as St. Paul says, right? So we believe, and to get back to your point, Coy, about the importance of knowledge, let me tell you, the Catholic Church agrees that generally speaking, we're going to be shocked on Judgment Day as to who's in heaven and who isn't, right? Because there's going to be a lot of folks who have never even heard of Jesus Christ, and they're going to be with us. I hope I'm there. God help me, right? They will be rejoicing with us, and there's going to be a lot of folks. I mean, this isn't Tim Staples speaking. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He says, many people will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your names, lay hands on the sick? And he says, I will say, depart from me, right? That's Jesus. And so, you know, I think, Coy, the key is to understand these principles. Free will, the dignity of man. God does not coerce. He does not force us. And so God deigned when Adam and Eve rejected God's covenant and they walked away. God backed up, so to speak. Okay, you want to go on your own? You can go on your own. And of course, incredible amounts of darkness came, but God began, you know, through Noah, through Abraham, through, you know, as we move along the prophets and so forth, to reveal bit by bit, as Hebrews 1:1 says, more and more, because God loves us and he brings us along. But as far as those who are outside the covenant, never even heard of Noah, never even heard of Abraham, never heard of Jesus, God will judge them justly as well. So the key is, my friend, for you and I would argue, it's not so much, hey, what about that dude over there that's never heard of Jesus? Jesus will take care of them. And we have rational, reasonable reasons to have hope for those people. In fact, we have reasons to have hope for everybody, although we know by revelation, by revelation, that means by what Jesus says, in fact, that some will reject him. That is a sad fact, and that's why we evangelize, because we don't want anybody to go to hell. But if they do, my friend, it will be because they have rejected God and neighbor, as I said, and they will be there because it is just for them to be there. And everyone who goes to heaven is going to be there because it is God's mercy, because every single one of us deserve hell. But the fact is, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we can be saved by his mercy. Anyway, Coy, I wanted to get your thoughts here because I gave you a lot of time on this one.
Yeah. That was a ton of really good stuff to go over. I agree with you on a lot of it. However, I will just say that I still feel that there's a deep morality issue with God that punishes someone eternally for not having a full understanding of what they're rejecting. I mean, even you yourself just, I think, said that if we had an understanding of who God was, we would not reject it.
No, Coy, that's a miss. Let me jump in there. That's not what I said. I did not say they did not have a full understanding of what they rejected. You absolutely have to have a full understanding of what you're rejecting. Correct. In order to commit a mortal sin. So you've got to know that you're acting, for example, contrary to your nature. And I argue even the atheist who rejects, you know, God, at least conceptually, you know, I love talking to atheists because, you know, without God, I think it was Chesterton who said, without God, there are no atheists, right? Atheism ultimately, I mean, I hate to pull scripture on folks, you know, but Psalm 53 verses 1 and 2 does say, the fool says in his heart there is no God. Because you are kicking against the goads to such an extent, because we know there's a God. We can know it through the pure and natural light of reason. I mean, just the created order itself demands a creator. Now, that doesn't mean that the atheist can't go to heaven. Yes, he can. And a lot of times, atheists don't even reject God. They reject some distorted view of God that they may have, the spaghetti monster or some kind of God who delights in the eternal torment of souls, which is not our God. He permits people to act contrary to his will after he has given them sufficient grace to act in accordance with his will. So the only folks that are going to be in hell are those who know exactly what they did and that it was contrary to their natures as human beings and contrary to the God of nature as well. Otherwise, you can't go to hell. Now, again, some are saying, well, you're saying the atheist then is off the hook. No, I'm not. Because the atheist, if you dig down into the mindset of the atheist, and I've talked to so many of them over so many years, there are so often discordant ideas of who God is. Many of them have been abused. Even I've encountered times when folks have been abused by religious people and they end up claiming atheism and such. But again, we leave all of that to God. Coy, I wish we had more time. We don't. I've broken a record here. We've given you more time than any person that's ever called Catholic Answers Live. But I really appreciate your call. But just remember, God doesn't send anybody to hell. They basically, I mean, we can say technically, yes, he has to permit it. And in a sense, he casts them into hell. But we understand that that is only because they have rejected God's plan for them and the graces he has given them.
What a great topic for one-on-one with Tim Staples, right? Maybe we'll have that here soon. We've got to take our third break of the first hour. Let's go ahead and take that now. We'll be right back after this. Hang in there, Gary. We'll be with you right after the break. Thanks.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, "When we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue." Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Carry the faith wherever you go. You can enjoy EWTN television and radio live streams, many of our popular TV and radio shows on demand, prayers and devotionals, and keep up on the latest Catholic news. Download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com and join the EWTN family today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. David Matheson and Tim Staples here for the first of 2 hours of Ask Me Anything About the Catholic Faith. The number to call to talk to Tim this hour, but Carlo Broussard, staff apologist at Catholic Answers in hour two, is 888-318-7884. Right before we get to Gary, I do want to just mention each time I host, I'm always given a task to talk about something in particular. And these last few days, it is the 2024 Catholic Answers National Conference. It's our 10th conference, believe it or not, Tim Staples, and it is called Learn From Me, the Parables, Sermons, and Conversations of Jesus Christ. It is coming up here in the San Diego area of La Jolla, to be specific, September 26th through the 29th. Dr. Scott Hahn will be here. He's bringing his lovely wife, Kimberly Hahn, who will also be giving a talk. Dr. Ray Guarendi is going to be here as well. All kinds of great speakers. And yes, Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, Joe Heschmeyer, Cy Kellett, all of the great Catholic Answers personalities you know and love will be at the conference as well. How do you get more information? I'll make it simple. Go to CatholicAnswersConference.com, CatholicAnswersConference.com. For more information, the 10th annual Catholic Answers National Conference coming up this fall. Learn from me the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let's jump right over to Gary in Buffalo. Gary, thanks for hanging in with us. He is listening on Station of the Cross.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I guess I have a good follow-up question to the fascinating conversation that's been going on.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, Tim mentioned he was going to give a talk, an appearance talk, on Catholic moral teaching, and he called it a symphony. And it really piqued my interest.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to have Tim give too much of his shtick away because he does it as an appearance. But it piqued. I would like to get a preview of it.
Yes.
I guess we'll have to have you out to Buffalo for the whole thing. But what I'm dealing with I have like 20 and 30-year-olds in my life that they're willing to listen to things about the faith and the love of God and the spiritual life. But they come to a mental block when it comes to LGBT and it comes to contraception. So that would be my question. If you could preview that, Tim, what you meant by a symphony of Catholic moral teaching.
Yeah, well, Gary, the talk you're talking about is called Black and White, Moral Clarity in a World of Gray. That's one of my favorite talks that I give. And I do it a lot, actually, on college campuses, high school groups, and things like that, for obvious reasons, Gary. But basically, the moral life and the teachings on the moral life are not that difficult on a sort of a basic level. Now, of course, once you get down into the weeds, so to speak, and get into a lot of different moral situations and whatnot, that's why we have moral theologians with degrees and such, and popes and everything else. But just generally speaking, Gary, the moral life is about doing evil and are doing good, and that's great, doing evil, right? No, doing good and avoiding evil. That's the basics of the moral life. And you can know what is good and evil just through using the pure and natural light of reason. Now, that's kind of the first principle of what we call natural law, do the good, avoid the evil. Once you start breaking it down, you can see that in human nature, we have five natural inclinations that all of us have. They're born right into us, what Paul calls natural law that's written on our hearts. And that is to know, right? To will, to live in community, to procreate, and to preserve the self. Those are five natural inclinations that we all have that the entire moral law, and I'm speaking from a natural law perspective, like St. Paul in both Romans 1 and especially Romans 2, 14 through 16, but all of the moral life boils down to those natural inclinations, which are ordered toward our ultimate good, which is God. Hey, that's one of those natural inclinations, the inclination to know the ultimate good, which is God, to will the ultimate good, which is God. And so all of these natural inclinations order us toward our ultimate good, which is God. And from there, you can break it down. Like you mentioned the moral order with regard to the conjugal act. Well, that's one of the natural inclinations, right? And in fact, it involves both living in a community and procreating. Two natural inclinations are involved here. And that's what you find with these natural inclinations. They're all interwoven and such. It's not quite as mechanical as I'm making it appear right now. But the bottom line is we can know as human beings that the conjugal act, that is the sexual act, and again, I don't need a Bible to tell me this, is ordered toward the union of one man, one woman, and the procreation of children. That's a principle of natural law. That's what our bodies are ordered toward. Mine as a man, my wife's as a woman. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out, hey, I'm pointed toward her and she is receptive to me. That's what this thing is all about, right? And marriage is God's protection of that, which is so important to the human race. Look, that's how we propagate the species, man. That's kind of important, right? So that's an example of how we can know things like you're talking about, the LGBTQ and so forth. Now, some of the transgender and all of that stuff, we could get into some other principles we don't have time to do right now. However, the principle concerning the moral law governing marriage is really quite simple. The problem I find is when you lay it out real time. Look, homosexual acts are contrary to our natures and the purpose of the conjugal act. So if man is with man, guess what? You're thwarting both of the purposes of the sexual act, the union of one man, woman, and procreation, which makes that act contrary to your nature. You're acting contrary to God's plan, contrary to your nature, and ultimately, you're going to hurt yourself as well as the other that you are with. Love tells you you must will the good of the other. Stop it and start acting in accordance with God's will. Now, one final point I would make, Gary, is that introducing Jesus Christ and the idea of revelation, right, and the grace of God doesn't change anything on the moral order essentially, right? Because every act in the moral order was contrary to the moral order was immoral before Jesus and it's immoral after Jesus. But what Jesus does is he elevates us to another level. And he, you know, I guess I could summarize by saying the moral law and the moral life is just human beings acting like human beings. If you act like a human being, you're going to be all right, right? But Jesus calls us to a higher order. He calls us to act like God. He calls us to act like him. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends, right? He says in John 15, 12. But in John 13, 34, he says, love one another as I have loved you. Whoa! And that goes way beyond what we can do right now. But Jesus there interjects his, because notice, where God commands, if he points his finger, brother, then his hand provides the grace to get you to where he's pointing. You can guarantee that with regard to God. So when Jesus commands us, his disciples, love one another as I have loved you, you better believe he's given you the grace to get there. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is about. It's going above and beyond simply the moral principles of the Ten Commandments. And he's introducing the idea of dying for one another in the image of Jesus Christ. He's introducing, and I'll leave you with this thought famously there in Matthew chapter 5, I think, what, 6 or 7 times he says, you have heard it said, but I say to you, right? And he quotes the Old Testament. You've heard it said, eye for an eye, but I say. In other words, no more eye for an eye, guys. We're not strict retributive justice people. We're talking about something far deeper. We're introducing the love of God into communities, into our community first and foremost, but to take this out to the world. But let me leave you with Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44, where Jesus says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And of course, he's referring to some of the Psalms and texts of the Old Testament. What is it, Psalm, I want to say 139, where David says, help me to hate my enemies with a perfect hatred, right? Which, you know, on the natural level, there's nothing wrong with that, because hatred, if understood properly, means to reject that which opposes God. In David's understanding, that means people who oppose God, as well as things, anything that opposes God, I hate. Now, Jesus is introducing us to something much, much more. He is saying, no, I am calling you to love like God does. And this is something that's impossible for us apart from the grace of the sacraments to be able to do. but to love as God loves, to love even those who are in the midst of nailing nails into your hands and feet, like Jesus. Those who are putting whip marks on your back. And I don't know about you, brother. I know I need grace to get there. But that's, you know, in a nutshell, the moral law on the natural level versus the supernatural level that Jesus Christ introduces, which is a challenge. In fact, it's not just a challenge. It's impossible for us to keep apart from the grace of God.
Gary, what a great question. We appreciate that. And we're going to get one more in here before the top of the hour, before we bring on Carla Broussard for hour two. Diane in Chicago is listening on the EWTN app. Go right ahead. We're a little short on time, Diane, but go ahead with your question.
Yeah, you're very short on time.
Yeah.
I was calling because my sister, she left the church for a while and started worshiping Buddha.
Yes.
And she said after some months or years, whatever, she told God that she was sorry. I said, but you have to confess that sin. I just telling him that
Amen.
You're sorry that you did that. You have to confess that.
Yes. Yes. But, amen. Yeah, you are right, Diane, because, hey, if you leave the faith and start, as you say here, worshiping Buddha, you know, Diane, I would say to your sister, number one, that's not what Buddha asks. You know, Buddha himself. In fact, you may know this, Diane. I've read a lot of Siddhartha Gautama. I wrote a paper on him years ago when I was in college. But if you read Buddha, he didn't want anybody to worship him. In fact, he didn't even want to start a religion. He was a philosopher. He called himself a philosopher. But definitely the people, his disciples, made a sort of godlike character out of him. And there are certain members of Buddhism that do, in fact, worship him as a godlike character. Now, there are a lot of Buddhists that are actually technically atheists. And that gets into a lot of stuff here, Diane. But the bottom line is, if you choose to worship anything or anyone other than God, and if your sister was so confused as to think it was okay to worship Buddha, when she comes back to the faith, we say, because what she was doing is objectively grave matter, it would be best for her to go to confession, to get that off of her conscience, right? We can't judge from afar, you know, whether there was invincible ignorance and all of that sort of thing. What's most important, Diane, is to understand if you've objectively done something that's contrary to God's will in such a grave matter as worshiping him, go to confession. So you're doing the right thing, Diane, to encourage her. But thanks be to God, she got out of that, right? And she came back to her faith. That is fantastic. That's a great start. And God bless you, Diane, for helping your sister along the path.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you.
You bet. Thanks for calling in, Diane. And thanks to everybody who's still on the line. The number to call, and we've got another hour coming up of Ask Me Anything About the Catholic Faith. The number to call is 888-318-7884. We are wrapping up hour one here with Tim Staples. Hour two after the break is going to be Carlo Broussard, who has already joined us virtually from Tulsa, Oklahoma. But Tim, we talked a lot about the moral life. We talked about, you know, God, and the long conversation about the problem of evil is part of what it came down
and
to.
Hell
and full
in
knowledge
particular.
And hell in particular, right?
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we take the break here?
Yeah. First of all, I just appreciate all the folks that have called in, especially those of you that are not Catholic. I tell you, folks, it takes guts to call in and ask a question like this on the air, and we really appreciate you. And I want to just tell all of you, we've got a wealth of information for you free of charge at Catholic.com. Literally,
right.
Tens of thousands. Even now, I think we're into the 100,000 plus range of free articles. You don't have to pay a penny for on every manner of topic you can think of. And I always say that I've said this to you before, and I say it to Cy, if any of you out there have a question and you go to Catholic.com and you don't get an answer, drop us a note. drop me a note, because that's one thing we want to do. We want to get, and of course, we'll never get there because there's always going to be questions, right. But we're doing our best to get answers for every single question out there. So guys, keep going to Catholic.com. Keep listening to this broadcast. Keep asking questions, because I'll guarantee you, what we're going to give you here at Catholic Answers is Catholic Answers.
That's right. The Catholic truth, nothing more, nothing less.
That's
right?
It.
What the church teaches. All right. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate another great hour. We're going to be right back after this. More Ask Me Anything About the Catholic Faith. Once again, our guest will be the Catholic Answers staff apologist, Carla Broussard, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back after this.